2 weeks ago, we studied the authority of God's Word. Last Sunday, we studied how to understand and apply Bible authority. We learned that authority must come from God, that an expedient can only aid what God has already authorized, and that individual action is not always church action. Now, God willing, we will apply these principles to one practical question. What is the church building for? This lesson is not against Christians eating together, showing hospitality, or enjoying one another's company. The Bible teaches those things. This lesson is also not saying the building is holy like the Old Testament temple, but the building is not the church. The real issue is authority. Has God authorized the local church as a collective spiritual body to use its building, resources, and organized function for common meals or social recreational activities? Some may reason that a common meal is not being made the work of the church, but that the building may simply be used for such things. That statement deserves careful Bible study. If the local church provides, maintains, opens, schedules, or uses its building for an activity, we must ask, has God authorized the church as a collective body to use that resource for that purpose? The building is a tool or aid. Therefore, it should aid the work God authorized the church to do. Before we determine how the building may be used, we must first ask the right question: what activity has God authorized? A church building does not create authority. A songbook may aid singing, but it does not authorize singing. A baptistry may aid baptism, but it does not authorize baptism. A classroom may aid teaching, but it does not authorize teaching. Likewise, a building may aid authorized work, but it does not authorize every activity done inside it. The activity must first be authorized by God, then the building may lawfully aid that activity. We should remember that the church is the people, not the building. The New Testament teaches, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular," 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. The body of Christ refers to Christians who belong to Christ. The building is not the body, the people are. Peter also describes Christians as God's spiritual house. He said, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ," 1 Peter 2:5. Lively stones means living stones. Spiritual house shows that God's house today is His people. Spiritual sacrifices shows the spiritual nature of service to God. A family may live in a house, but the house is not the family. If the family moves, the family still exists. Likewise, the church may meet in a building, but the building is not the church. The church is the people of God. The building is only a tool. Therefore, the building must not be treated as the source of authority. Since the building is a tool, we must ask, what work is it meant to help? A building may aid authorized spiritual work. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together, Acts 20, 7 and 8. Came together identifies an assembly. Break bread in this context refers to the Lord's Supper. Paul preached, shows teaching. Many lights were fiscal aids to the gathering. The lights did not create a new activity. They helped the saints carry out authorized spiritual work. Christians are commanded to assemble and exhort one another. Scripture says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Assembling means coming together. Exhorting means encouraging and urging one another spiritually. A place to assemble may aid this command. A church building may help saints assemble, worship, teach, study, pray, sing, exhort, and edify. Eyeglasses may help a person read the Bible, but eyeglasses do not decide what the Bible says. A church building may help saints assemble, but the building does not decide what the church may do. A building may aid authorized spiritual work, but the building itself does not authorize a new work, purpose, or activity. The church may be used for what it lawfully aids. The right question is not, is the building holy, or can Christians eat together somewhere? The right question is, what activity has God authorized the church to do? And does the building help carry out that authorized activity? Now we must ask, what has God revealed for the church to do? The church's revealed work gives the building its proper use. To know what the church building is for, we must first know what the church is for. The building serves the work. Therefore, the work of the church must define the proper use of the building. Let's begin with the church's spiritual identity and purpose. The church upholds truth and glorifies God. Paul wrote so Timothy would know how one ought to behave in the house of God. He said, "If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." 1 Timothy 3:15. House of God refers to God's household, His people. Church of the living God shows that the church belongs to God. Pillar and ground of the truth means the church upholds and supports the truth. The church is not described as the pillar and ground of food, recreation, entertainment, business, politics, or social life. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul taught, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Ephesians 3:21. Glory means honor, praise, and reverence given to God. In the church shows that the church has a God-glorifying purpose. By Christ Jesus means this glory must be according to Christ and not according to man's inventions. The church exists to glorify God in Christ, not to become a social organization. A school building serves education. A courthouse Christ serves justice. The church building should serve the church's spiritual purpose. The church upholds truth and glorifies God. Therefore, the church's resources, including the building, should serve truth and spiritual work. Now let's notice the work God revealed for the church. God revealed spiritual work for the church. The Christians of the first century continued in spiritual activities revealed through the apostles. Scripture says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, Acts 2:42. Continued steadfastly means they remained devoted. Apostles' doctrine means inspired teaching. Fellowship in this setting is spiritual sharing and participation. Breaking of bread in this spiritual context points to the Lord's Supper. Prayers show dependence upon God. These are spiritual activities. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 shows evangelism, the word of the Lord sounded out from the church. Ephesians 4:15 through 16 shows edification. The body grows by truth and love. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2 shows benevolence for needy saints. The building may help the church assemble, worship, teach, preach, edify, pray, sing, remember the Lord's death, encourage one another, and carry out authorized benevolence. But the building must not be used to add another purpose to the church's work. The work of the church is spiritual. The building is properly used when it helps the church carry out God's revealed work. The church's work defines the building's use. The church upholds truth. The church glorifies God. The church worships, teaches, evangelizes, edifies, and may relieve needy saints according to Scripture. The building may aid those works. It must not be used to add another work. Now we must carefully consider common meals, hospitality, and fellowship must be kept in their Bible place. This lesson is not against Christians eating together. The Bible teaches hospitality, brotherly love, and care for one another. But it also teaches the difference between individual action and church action, and between common meals and the church's spiritual function. Let's affirm what the Bible authorizes for individual Christians. Christians may eat together and show hospitality. This lesson is not against hospitality. The Bible teaches Christians to love, receive help, and care for one another. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, 1 Peter 4:9. Hospitality means receiving, helping, and caring for others. Without grudging means without complaining or resentment. Christians should gladly show hospitality. The Bible says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, Romans 12 and verse 13. Distributing means sharing with Christians who are in need. Given to hospitality means pursuing or practicing hospitality toward Christians. Christians should gladly open their homes and lives to encourage, help, and care for others. This lesson should not make Christians less hospitable. It should make us more hospitable in the Bible way. Invite brethren into your home. Encourage one another. Help the needy. Love the brethren. Individual hospitality does not authorize the church to use its building and collective function for social meals. Individual action and church action are not the same. Now let's consider that common eating must not replace or confuse the church's spiritual purpose. The Corinthians had corrupted the Lord's Supper by mixing it with selfish common eating. Paul said, "When you come together, therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you?" Paul says, "Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." 1 Corinthians 11, 20 through 22. Come together refers to their assembled action. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper shows the spiritual purpose was being corrupted. His own supper refers to common eating. Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Points common eating to the home. To despise the church of God means they were treating God's church with disregard and shaming poorer brethren. This passage is about the church coming together and the difference between the Lord's spiritual supper and common eating. Since the building is an aid to the church coming together, this passage matters. It shows that common eating does not belong to the church's assembled spiritual function. 12 verses later, Paul gives a direct answer to physical hunger. He said, "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 34. If any man hunger addresses physical appetite, let him eat at home gives Paul's inspired answer to physical hunger. Come not together unto condemnation shows that mishandling of the church's assembly is spiritually serious. Notice what Paul did not say. He didn't say eat the common meal more respectfully. Eat it after the closing prayer or use another room. Paul said, let him eat at home. Acts chapter 2 harmonizes with Paul's instruction by placing ordinary meals in the home setting. The Bible says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Acts 2:46. In the temple identifies a public place where the disciples were together in spiritual devotion. Breaking bread from house to house identifies the setting of ordinary meals. Did eat their meat refers to ordinary food. Acts 2:46 harmonizes with Paul's later correction in 1 Corinthians 11. Acts 2 places ordinary meals from house to house, while Paul says, "Have you not houses? And let him eat at home." A common meal is not wrong in itself. Eating at home is not wrong. Hospitality is not wrong. But Acts 2:46 places ordinary meals in the home setting. 1 Corinthians 11 points physical hunger to the home. Together, these passages teach that common meals belong in their proper place. Now let's define fellowship by Scripture, not by modern religious habit. Biblical fellowship is spiritual joint participation. John connects fellowship with God, Christ, apostolic teaching, and walking in the light. He said, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us." And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, 1 John 1 and verse 3. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." 1 John 1, 7. Fellowship means sharing, partnership, or joint participation. John connects fellowship with the Father, the Son, apostolic teaching, and walking in the light. Biblical fellowship is spiritual. Paul thanked God for the Philippians for their fellowship in the gospel. Philippians 1, 3 through 5. Fellowship in this context means shared participation in gospel work. Brethren may enjoy a meal together and call it fellowship in an everyday sense. But Bible fellowship is deeper than sharing food. Bible fellowship is sharing in Christ, walking in the light, and participating in the gospel. A meal may accompany individual hospitality, but a meal is not what makes biblical fellowship. Biblical fellowship is spiritual joint participation in God's truth. Christians may eat together and show hospitality, but Scripture places common meals in the realm of individual home responsibility, not in the church's gathered spiritual function. Biblical fellowship is spiritual joint participation in God, Christ, and the gospel, not social entertainment. Now we'll proceed with answering common arguments about the church building. The issue is not whether the building is made of holy materials. The issue is not whether eating food is sinful. The issue is not whether brethren enjoy being together. The issue is whether the church has Bible authority to use its building for common meals or social recreational activities. Let's begin with the concern we are not making common meals the work of the church. Some may say we are not claiming common meals are the work of the church. They simply believe it is acceptable to use the church building for a common meal. That statement helps clarify the issue, but it does not answer or settle it. If the church owns, rents, maintains, schedules, opens, or controls the building, then the building is a congregational resource. The building is not merely an empty space for any harmless activity. It is an aid or expedient used by the local church to carry out its authorized spiritual work. Therefore, the use of the building should be limited to activities that aid the church's authorized work, worship, fellowship, edification, evangelism, and spiritual service. So the question remains, what authority allows the church to use its resource for the purpose of hosting a social meal? A classroom helps teaching. A baptistry helps baptism. A microphone helps preaching. Lights help assembling. In contrast, a common meal does not help the church eat the Lord's Supper. A birthday party does not help the church preach the gospel. Recreation does not help the church worship in spirit and in truth. Those are different activities. The building may be used for what it lawfully aids. Since the building is an aid to the church or to the church's authorized spiritual work, it should not be used for activities that do not aid in that work. If the activity is not authorized as church work, worship, fellowship, edification, evangelism, benevolence, or spiritual service, using the building for it would not be authorized. Now let's consider the argument, the church building is not holy. Some may say the church building is not holy, therefore it may be used for common meals or social recreational activities. It is true that the physical building is not holy like the Old Testament temple. The carpet, pews, walls, roof, pulpit, the baptistry water, we don't have one here, are not holy in themselves. But that does not prove the building may be used for any purpose. The question is not, is the building holy? The question is, has the church been authorized to use the building for a social activity? Communion trays are not holy in themselves, but they should not be used as a lap tray. Songbooks are not holy in themselves, but they should not be used as coloring books. The baptistry is not holy in itself, but it should not be used as a swimming pool. Why? Not because the objects are holy, but because they are assigned to aid spiritual work. The building is not holy ground, but it is still a church resource, and its use must be governed by Bible authority. Another argument says it is outside formal worship, so it would then be acceptable. Some may say we are not planning the social activity during worship. It is after services or on another day. But time does not create authority. A Bible class may be authorized outside the worship hour because teaching is authorized. A gospel meeting may be authorized because preaching is authorized. A singing or prayer meeting may be authorized because singing, prayer, and edification are authorized. But common meals or social recreational activities such as birthday parties, game nights, or entertainment events are not authorized merely because they happen outside the worship hour. The issue is not only the time, the issue is the purpose and activity. The church remains responsible to act within the authority of Christ with its authorized resources. The question is not, is it during formal worship? The question is it an authorized spiritual activity for the church building? Now consider the argument that meals help fellowship and bring brethren closer. Some may say eating together helps bring grow closer together. It encourages love. It helps fellowship. Brethren may indeed enjoy being together in a meal. I know I do. That is why individual hospitality is good. But Bible fellowship is spiritual. A meal may build social closeness, but the gospel builds spiritual fellowship. The word builds faith. Prayer joins hearts before God. Singing teaches and admonishes. The Lord's Supper remembers the death of Christ, and preaching saves and edifies souls. If a meal helps individual relationships, Christians can practice hospitality in homes. The Bible authorizes that. Social closeness is not the same as biblical fellowship. Biblical fellowship is spiritual joint participation in God, Christ, and the gospel. Another argument says food helps draw people. After Jesus fed the multitude, some followed him because they wanted more physical food, but Jesus corrected their motive. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." John 6:26-27. Meat which perisheth is physical food. Meat which endureth points to spiritual life. Jesus corrected those who followed for food rather than truth. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Paul said in Romans 1:16 that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Bait may attract fish, but the gospel is not bait. The gospel is God's power to save. The church must not use food as its drawing power. The words of Christ gives life. The gospel saves. Let's also consider that incidental physical needs are not the same as church-hosted social meals. A water fountain may aid the assembly. Restrooms may aid the assembly. A nursing mother may need to care for a child. Someone with a medical need may need to eat something. A wheelchair ramp, heat, air conditioning, lights, and seats all help people assemble. These are not the same as the church arranging, hosting, providing, or promoting a common social meal. Physical accommodations may aid the authorized gathering. Planned common meals or social recreational activities are different from authorized spiritual activities. The building may aid authorized spiritual work, but it does not add another purpose. It may aid worship, teaching, preaching, singing, praying, edification, and authorized benevolence. It does not authorize common meals or social recreational activities. Incidental needs such as water, restrooms, lights, seats, medical needs, nursing care, or accessibility may aid the assembly. They are not the same as church-planned social meals. There are many arguments used to affirm that having a social event in the church building is supposedly okay. Those covered in this lesson are just a few of them. The question is, what authorized spiritual work does this use of the church building aid? Common arguments must be tested by Scripture. The statements "we are not calling it church work" does not answer the authority question. "The building is not holy" does not prove the building may be used for anything. Outside formal worship does not create authority. Meals help fellowship confuses social closeness with biblical fellowship. Food draws people, forgets that the gospel is God's power to save. The argument that 1 Corinthians 11 is only about abusing the Lord's Supper must still face Paul's remedy, "Have ye not houses, and let him eat at home," which harmonizes with the home-setting example in Acts 2:46. The issue is not merely the building. The issue is the authority for the use of the church building and authority for church-hosted social events. We have considered the right question, the church's revealed work, common meals and hospitality, biblical fellowship, and a few common arguments. Let's now draw these thoughts into a closing summary. The church building is not the church. Christians are the body of Christ. Christians are God's spiritual house. The building is not holy ground like the Old Testament temple, but it is still a lawful aid used by the church for authorized spiritual activities. A tool must serve the work it is meant to aid. The building may be used for what it lawfully aids. The building may aid authorized spiritual works such as worship, teaching, gospel meetings, edification, prayer, singing, the Lord's Supper, evangelism, spiritual encouragement, and authorized benevolence. But the church building must not be used to add another purpose. Christians may eat together. Christians may show hospitality. Christians may invite one another into their homes. Christians may enjoy one another's company. But individual action and church action are not always the same. The question is not, can Christians eat? Is the building holy? Is it outside worship? Does it seem harmless? Do other churches do it? Are we calling it a work of the church? The question is, has God authorized the local church to use its building and collective function for common meals or social recreational activities? The church building exists to help the church carry out its spiritual work according to the authority of Christ. The church building is not the church. It is not holy ground either. But the church building should be used in harmony with the holy God we serve and the spiritual work He gave. The lesson is yours. If you have a spiritual need, it is the Lord who invites, and we await to assist. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?
We sing the first and last of 994. Who will follow Jesus? Stand before the bride, holding up his banner in the thickest fire, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus? Serving him today. Who will follow Jesus?